Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better
and better! We get
beat! We get beat!
Boom! Beat! Beat!
Boom! Beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
It was bad choices, and it just turned into bad football.
Welcome to it, Monday edition of Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning, open phones. A wine line is open for you. 40 minutes, open phones if you want to join us. Jay and I are loaded to the gill with thoughts on Saturday night here on Hail Varsity. 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll free, 1-800-825-5865 on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at JMoore44, at TJ underscore Henning. We'll get caught up with Michael Bruntz. 1 hour from now, Blackshirt Charlotte. Coach Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Coach McBride will give his thoughts on the defense and Nebraska moving forward. And then wasn't a lot of guys to choose from today at the media session, so we are very thankful that fullback Luke McNitt took a few minutes with us. And you'll hear that conversation around 5:40. Watching the Big Ten Network right now. There's Weber, there's Samuel, there's Lattimore, and there's more points being scored by Ohio State. I was at a football get-together, a gathering. This wasn't at my house this time. In a superstitious mode, I will say that's why it got so out of hand. At least when you watch football on my 65-inch, bragging jerk store here, sorry. At least it goes to overtime if they don't win. We were at another Jay Bird's house, mm-hmm. Had the heater outside, had the tent up, had the 4K going. And as soon as it got to 21-3, and this is post-Tommy injury and scare moment, he flipped it over and was like, yep, LSU, Bama, that's where it's at. So I had to go inside and watch the rest of the game. And then once in a while, we'd flip back over. But, man, I was chicken in my prediction. I was absolutely chicken in my prediction with what I said was going to happen. And I said, Ohio State's too tough, too talented. I think they'll be ready. They don't play a lot of bad games in a row. Eventually, they'll snap out of it. And those thinking Nebraska was going to win or hang, which was a fair argument based on how Ohio State had played, said that, no, I mean, Nebraska's not playing great, but they find a way. That was kind of the qualifier. And to up until Saturday, they had. I felt awful about this a week ago, Nebraska, Ohio State. I didn't think it'd go well. I thought it was a potential avalanche because, you know, Urban's about making points. And Urban's about recruiting 4- and 5-star talent. And Urban's about having depth. And Urban's about having those moments where we can high-five and chest bump on the sideline because we just pulled a Tebow pass on you. I mean, he's that type of clown. He's great at what he does. He recruits at a high level. But that's just what he is, man. He was lying in wait. Ohio State was lying in wait. They looked extremely mortal. When you look at Ohio State and Nebraska and you look at the common opponents, Nebraska beating the same dudes that Ohio State beat, and Ohio State struggled to do so, just like Nebraska had struggled to do so. In some instances, you had some flip-flops. Nebraska won by 5. Ohio State ended up winning by 21. Nebraska won by double digits against Northwestern. Ohio State barely hung on against Northwestern. So there's your logic as to why you think Nebraska could hang. And it just, and you heard Coach Riley, bad choices, bad football. It looked like a repeat, a rerun in past performances by this Nebraska team on offense and on defense against a team. We've always wondered, you know, what is Nebraska this year? And you felt great. You felt confident. I thought the team felt empowered And again, that mad comment a week ago from Riley. I thought this team would come in and play with some swag, with some confidence. And instead, it got off to an awful start with the pick six. You got to settle for three on the ensuing drive. You give up big plays. You can't make stops on third down. Some of your top linebackers who've been really good all year did not make tackles. You got torched in the secondary from time to time. They have better players than you do. And those guys made the plays. Nebraska's guys didn't make plays. And it went from bad to worse. Snowball effect when you lose your quarterback. A week ago, we asked, does Nebraska have a shot? That was our Friday topic. Does Nebraska have a shot in this? Because, I mean, unlike Wisconsin, Nebraska waffling, what was going to happen? I by Thursday night or Friday, I kind of decided this thing will get bad. And I said Ohio State to win by 17 or something like that. And I couldn't say 65-10. I couldn't. But that was more of a clear feel in my gut what was going to happen, just based on what Ohio State does to people. And really the fact that Nebraska had been really gutty all year long in some of their wins. And I think they emptied the gas tank and played one for Sam. They've played them all for Sam, but I think they really, really played one for Sam in Madison Saturday night. Didn't get it done. And I think that was just too much to overcome with elite competition waiting on the other sideline. So I ask you this. Can join us 466-3776 or 800-825-5865. Did you think Nebraska was beyond this type of performance? Not getting beat or not even being beaten by three touchdowns. But you think they were beyond, you know, the Mike Leach zone, 70-10, or 62-3 is what this turned out to be. Did you think Nebraska was beyond it? And in my gut, when Ohio State's playing at their top level, they're engaged, they're ready to kind of show who they are. And you have Nebraska, who in their best moments has gotten close, which was their best moment in football has been, in my honest opinion, the last 3-4 years was 2 weeks ago in Madison. That's where I come out. They're a team that's going to vie for second place in the West. You got three tough closeout games. You do have talent on this Nebraska football team. You have an injured Nebraska football team that is just a mess, and that offensive line affects anything and everything you want to do. Doesn't matter who your quarterback is, doesn't matter who your running back is, doesn't matter who you have at wideouts. It was a trickle down. It got ugly. There was no answer. Hopefully they don't cash it in. I'm not saying they quit or I'm not calling them quitters. I'm saying at this point in the year, with who they have left on the schedule, it's not going to be easy, and it's going to be 20-17 if they're lucky to get out of Dodge with three more wins and make this thing a 10-win, possibly 11-win season. But this thing will and can rock most teams to their soul. Does Nebraska respond? Was Nebraska beyond this type of result? Bird, you're a proud black shirt. You've been in games where you've stomped people. You've been in games where they've taken their turn with the pinata stick on a team you've been a part of. Mm-hmm. And what's your reaction to this?
This is, kind of going throughout the day, this was going to be a pretty interesting show to chop it up about. I thought Nebraska was beyond. I'll answer that question for you. I thought we were beyond this.
You don't think the talent gap was Grand Canyon size?
No. I mean, they have more talent, yeah. But I think that's easy. People are always looking for the easy way to, wow, what's going on? It's like water. They just find the easiest way to go, You know what? All the times I've been in the NFL, it's amazing how many more talented guys you see on your way out, how many less talented guys you see continue to play 7-8 double-digit years.
Okay.
Because they take pride in what they do. They take pride in playing perfect technique and doing the right things and running what the play is called. They don't mess up. They always have intent to do well. It's they have a purpose in what they're doing, and that's kind of my word. I thought intent and purpose was with Nebraska's team, especially the defense. Now I didn't think Nebraska's offense was going to play great. I knew it was going to be a struggle. I knew Ohio State's D wasn't the best. I knew they had some issues in the secondary, I did not think our offensive line was going to even play worse. I didn't think that was even possible, but they did. They played awful. But I was just really disappointed with the defense and the lack of fire and the lack of passion they showed. I mean, that's what's tough. I always, with intent. What are you trying to achieve when you're out there? Are you out there just to be there because that's, well, I'm the starter, so I have to kind of go out there? Or are you out there to kick someone's ass and make some plays and be a part of something? That's what frustrated me about this game was we looked shocked. We looked tired. I thought we looked wiped out from the Wisconsin game. I get it. But what do you just think? You can just roll out there and make some plays? I'm pretty convinced that I didn't see any practices last week. But I can guarantee you they weren't worth a crap because you don't
based on what they did Saturday.
Yeah,
night.
Absolutely. It tells me that the way they tackled the speed they were playing at, they must have got a. I bet you both scout teams gave them awful looks, and there was just no enthusiasm. There was no. I think they were just so mentally wiped out from this Wisconsin game that. I don't know. It's a dangerous
combo when you empty the tank against Whiskey and you got to go play Ohio State with a chip on their shoulder because Ohio State's being doubted.
Right.
Now.
But it was just ugly. It was bad. This is this perfect scenario of we played our worst game of the year. Ohio State played their best game of the year. You can maybe put us the Oklahoma game in there for them as well. But it was gross. it was just bad. There was really no positive I can take out of that. But the way our defense, the purpose we had. I mean, it's just I'm not going to question anyone's effort. I don't know, but I just don't. Here's one thing you can do. Talent, yeah, they have more talent.
Were they deer in headlights to you?
I think a little bit. I think it was a mix of deer in headlights. I think it was being a little bit tired. But you can do so much. The talent level, yes. If we play our best game, they play our best game, they probably win by 17, 21 points. Okay?
It's not 59.
Right. They're not 59 points. They don't have that much better talent than we do. Look at – turn on Northwestern, the Penn State, the Indiana, you name it, the last four games. I mean, they have good talent. But I'm telling you what, want to – execution of your technique in preparation takes care of a lot of those issues. That's why those guys in the NFL play for so long. Because that's what they do. That's what they're wired for. This team, like, we did not prepare with a damn. We did not want to be out there. We were just hoping we were going to make plays. It was a lot of hoping. You know, it was just kind of a lot of wandering around. I hope I can make a play. No, man. It was not good.
And it went south completely when your heartbeat with Tommy.
No, it does. It's hard. Listen, I was a part of that 70-10 loss. I played almost every snap of that game. It was awful having to run out there. When after Bo Davis keeps throwing picks after picks after picks, and you have to try to stop them on your own 5, 10, 25-yard line. It was awful. That was the worst game I've ever been a part of. All right, I've been a part of a lot of ass kickings, you know. But like I always say, tell yourself, because it's hard. You don't want to go back out there when you're getting your – it's not fun to run your head into someone else when you're getting blown out. It sucks. But the film is always watching because there is nothing worse than you go watch that film the next day and you put a piss poor effort out there and you look disinterested, it's embarrassing.
It
follows you. It eats at you. It's the worst. So I don't know what they're thinking, but there has to become a deep within you to be like, you know what? Even though we're getting our brains beat in, I do not want to sit in that film room tomorrow and get my ass chewed for putting this crap out here. I don't care if someone else is doing it, but I'm going to be damned if I'm getting my butt chewed in this film room tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon. That's what it takes to get over stuff like this and to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Okay, we have people on hold. We'll get to you. A line open at 1-800-825-5865. Let's go to Nate. Nate, thanks for being patient. About 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Man, what's up, guys? How are you?
We're getting a little fired up here. Birds ready to go sack somebody named Barrett.
I know he is. And you know, J-Bone, I love you, man. I got to disagree with you on some of this. And I don't do that often. I actually am fairly like-minded with the J-ster, right? But I think this was 85% talent, probably 10%, you know, the injury fatigue factor, and another 5% coaching. If we step back and look at this, it is easy for us to say, well, we're talented kids. Yes, but talent is a relative thing. We are 5 years away from recruiting enough talent to go head-to-head with Ohio State and Michigan. It's not even close. Our best talent, and there is talent on here, I do agree. Our best players talent-wise, probably Stanley Morgan, mm-hmm. probably Kieran Williams, but these guys are freshmen and sophomores, and it showed, it did. But our best players got ate up, dropped balls, missed coverages, did all over the place. The problem we are having right now is really the fan base. Because, you know, I have never been a Bo Leaver. I was on your show before anybody screaming for Bo's head. But let's be honest, we fired Bo 50% because of things like this. So all those anti-Bo folks who wanted to fire him for that, come on out and take your lashings, because it was not a problem confined to Pelini. We have a psychosis where we can't deal with highs and lows. I've said on this program for the last 6 weeks, we're the best of the worst teams, and that's okay. It'll get us 8-9 wins to keep going. But if people think that we were somehow over the hump how? I mean, Riley had a decent save the end of the year recruiting class last year in a transition year.
Nate, we're up against it. We're up against it. Point well made. Thank you so much.
We'll finish tomorrow. Love you guys. Jay, keep your head up, bro. It's okay.
Listen, lot in there with him. Line open at 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Hail Varsity, thoughts on Ohio State? And do you think Nebraska was beyond this result?
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you on a Monday, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. An hour less, or less, I should say. Charlie McBride, Mr. Blackshirt with us. If you're on hold, stay there. If you jumped off because it was commercial time, shame on you. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Just a couple thoughts from Nate in his thought. The psychosis the team is in when it comes to big games and big, bad blowouts. I think there is a little PTSD that goes on with this team. You know, here we go again. I thought, a lot of fans thought, and I felt like what was tugging at me based on trying to make a prediction Saturday was, okay, this team may have turned the corner based on how they performed against Wisconsin, because granted, it wasn't pick six, start the ball game, but they were down 17-7 in a real dire time against Wisconsin, and they responded with forcing overtime. They went into that fourth quarter, put up 10 points, and should have won. Mm-hmm. Either could have tried to get in field goal range or in overtime. Didn't happen. But I think when you play Ohio State, when you play a really engaged Ohio State team, Nebraska got down, and I think there was major intimidation going on.
Oh, without a doubt.
When they show up to that place, they see those dudes warm up. And I think you shrink a bit.
No, it was. I mean, let's be honest. They're puckered.
Yeah.
No, there's pucker factor all over the place. It was a big scene. It was, it's just
all week long.
Can we validate this again?
Yes. Yeah, you had to do it a second time. And Bird, I'll tell you this. We talked last week, the buzz. Mm-hmm. And the buzz, it kind of got cranked up, but
it wasn't there.
No, I think deep down, as a Nebraska fan, you're like, oh, God.
You're right. It
was in the back of your mind. You get embarrassed on TV.
I just didn't think. Trust me. Guys, they're not 59 points better than us. They're not. We played awful. We played awful. The worst game we've played all year. Whatever we had issues with in, you know, macro levels throughout these other games, they all went to a micro level. They went to a macro level against. I mean, it's bigger, everything. Can't run the ball because O-line issues. Can't throw the ball. You know, usually it was kind of one or the other.
There's something they could compensate
against
other teams. Right. There's way worse teams.
Right, exactly. But it was bad. Here's my thing with the talent level. You look at Wisconsin people, okay? They've gone toe-to-toe with Ohio State and Michigan, two of the best teams in the country.
They're not out-talenting Nebraska, in your opinion.
Wisconsin is not.
Yeah, no. I agree with you.
The intent of that team, that defense, and the purpose they have when they step on the field and the culture and the technique and how they play, there's zero reason why Nebraska can't do that. It's just you have to get there, but they didn't have that intent of wanting to play well. They hoped they were going to play well, but they did not want to
it's
play.
It's a belief.
Yeah, it's just – but when you step in there, you know, I think – it's always funny. I think, you know, the – what was it? The 40-year-old virgin.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about putting the thing on the pedestal.
Yeah.
It was such a big deal. You know, you remember that scene?
Thank you for that example.
Right, you know,
have something you hold in such high regard your
right.
whole life.
Right, and that's how they put, I think Ohio State was up there.
So what are we calling Ohio State after winning by 59?
No, right. But it's like they put them on this pedestal of, you know.
You can't attain it.
Right.
You can't be that.
It's that kind of, oh man, this is Ohio, you know. You know, won a national championship a couple of years ago. But you know, I really thought the maturity of this football team would show better. And it obviously didn't. That's why I thought we were beyond that. I thought we had guys who, like I said, I know they're against not the best teams, but the ability to forget the scoreboard and kind of forget and just execute. It's just we panicked. We panicked and we were ill-prepared and it showed. And it showed against a good team.
Showed
not 59 points better.
It showed against a team that I think, if they're on their game, can hang with Bama. I'm back to thinking Ohio State, what we saw earlier in the year from them when they cared.
Mm-hmm.
They were out to prove a point when they were out to murder people. You saw a team that looks like they can hang with Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Dave has been hanging on the line. A number open for you, a line open for you at 466.
Steve,
sorry, brother. 466-377-6800. 825-5865. Steve, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Hey, my question is this. Is our second team offensive line so poor that our first teamers with, you know, one good leg mm-hmm. are better than some of our second teamers? I mean, it just, I
where's
understand
the depth? Where's
they
the
get
talent?
The reputations and stuff. But I can't believe our second teamers can't outperform some of our first teamers. And our first teamers are banged up as they are.
Steve will answer that. Thank you for the phone call. 466-377-6800-825-5865. You walk in the door, TJ and I in here talking, and I throw that question at you.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with the O-line? Give me an answer.
Yeah, why is it
please?
Guys like Decker, Barnett, you know?
Gaylord.
And
Football Focus did a grading system. And you had three guys that graded at 70 or better
mm-hmm.
on offense. Mm-hmm. Three is it.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Conrad do that at right tackle. And you had Whitaker do that. You had your left guard and your center routinely get
mm-hmm.
demolished.
Mm-hmm.
And you had issues on that left side. And Gates, I didn't see his grade, but Gates is your best, but he's still on one leg.
Mm-hmm.
The question about Decker, the question about Barnett, very, very relevant questions. Mm-hmm. And then you're not going to – Riley was asked about and didn't ask or isn't going to burn the red shirts. You just can't do it. He's not going to do it for Patrick.
Now.
He's not going to do it for Patrick O'Brien. He's not going to do it for Bo Wilson. He's not going to do it for the kid out of South Dakota. He's just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But what is going on? What's going on?
I don't – that's great. I mean, it's – so
Jay, you have all the answers.
No,
tell
this
Husker
is what,
Nation.
This is what it tells me. You know, I think whether people on past staffs want to knock about, oh, we can't develop kids. Well, it's always a two-way street, folks, okay? The coaches are always going to coach, and they're always trying to get the kids better, okay? But it has to – as a player, you have to want to get better. You have to take the coaching because you know what? Because that's all of a sudden coaches are going to give up, okay?
There's a window of opportunity.
Right. You know what? When you get cussed out and yelled at in practice and in film sessions, that's a good thing because they care. As soon as they stop yelling at you and they stop trying to coach you, they've given up and they've stopped. And your days of trying to be a decent football player, good football player are done. So it tells me, okay, A, they don't trust these guys. They're not practicing well. They're not executing the game plan well. And if they're the development issue, you have to want to get better, okay? There's a lot. I mean, college football's hard. Being a D1 athlete's hard with the school. It's overwhelming. And you have to want to have that pride to get better and compete. So it's telling me a lot of these kids maybe aren't getting better because they're not putting in the effort. They're not embracing the what they're being told, what they're being taught, what they're being coached to get better. It tells me they're a little bit maybe they're overwhelmed with everything. And you know what? Maybe I saw a great quote from the coach of Washington,
Peterson.
He goes, in this day and age, kids love the recruiting more than they love football. And I thought he nailed that. That was one of the best things I've read all year. Kids love the attention. They love the thought of coming and playing.
The aura of being a football player versus actually.
But when they get there and realize how much work it is, they're like, damn. You know what? I've seen it. I don't tell me how guys I came with that were highly touted, whether at JUCO, and they were overwhelmed with everything. It was a lot. They thought they'd come in and step in and be great. No, man.
It takes some work.
It takes a little work. It takes a little effort. So I think it's a little bit of everything. And I just think these guys are – it's going to take time. I know. But, you know, some of these guys we have behind them are young. I mean, you look back – I know back with the pipeline days, guys were playing until they were junior, seniors. But
I'm sure junior.
Right. But I know it was a lot deeper back then and different time frame and everything. But it just shows me that guys aren't – you know, embracing it and trying. I mean,
there needs to be progress made on the players' part.
Right, exactly. Don't think the coaches aren't coaching them and aren't teaching them my ass. They're getting after them and they're trying to coach them.
You have a certain window.
You have to want to, and you have to be able to do it and execute it.
You have a certain window and timeline too.
Right.
Where either you're always going to stay with a kid, but you got to move on and find the next guy if there's a
right because there's.
Because there's a point of
that ball's kicking off no matter what on Saturdays.
To develop depth.
Right.
And right now Nebraska's a mess. We'll get into it. And they brought up a great point. What do you blame the loss on Saturday night? Is it talent discrepancy? Is it Nebraska's injuries? Was it the coaching? And we have so much time to get into the offensive game plan and the pros and the cons of it. I'm voting talent. Is the reason we lost. I know that they freaked out with the situation. I know Ohio State was ready to rock. Talent kind of plays off of the injury. You didn't have the talent from the backup standpoint to come in for the injured guys or the guys that are gutting it out. So you go with who you got.
Mm-hmm.
So part of it, I mean, Ohio State, man, they had three or four guys that this once they touched the ball, they'd score or they'd get 3 yards and they needed two. They had those sort of dudes, those difference makers. Let's go to Max, been on hold.
Mark.
Dude, that says Mac. I found the person in America that has worse handwriting than me.
Dude, that says Mark.
Thank you.
Does that R not Mark. Look like a C?
Nope, that's an R.
Whatever. Mark, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead. I called you Mac.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I went to the game. And I agree with Jay. I mean, Northwestern does not have a high level of talent. They got kids there, or two, maybe three star players, but Fitzgerald gets kids that want to have a desire to play. I've officiated high school and college football for 30 years. And, you know, you don't have to have four star guys in there. You have to have guys that are going to do the techniques and be in position to make plays. And talking to people there, tailgating the whole day, all the Ohio State people were like, we can't believe how Vegas has us at 17 points. This is going to be a dogfight. And it was just a total embarrassment. First pick after three plays, the game was over. We were done. And there was a lot of Husker fans there, and it was a bad atmosphere. And I sent one right away. In the morning, we were on campus, and we looked over, and we saw this big group of guys, and I saw Urban Meyer stand there. They were doing a walkthrough. 10 a.m. on campus down by the stadium.
Mark, hang on for me. Appreciate it. Hail Varsity continues.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Plenty of phone calls to get to. If you're on hold, stay there. or try getting through 466-377-6800-825-5865. Safe driving. Demand your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. Mark was telling us about how Urban Meyer was with a bunch of students or maybe recruits. Mark, pick up where you left off. We didn't want to punch you off because you were in Columbus, correct?
Correct. No, the student was downtown at 10 a.m. doing a walkthrough. The whole coaching staff, they had security. They had all these police officers. I couldn't take any pictures, but I was watching them, and they were in their sweats, and the team was doing, I mean, they were there for, we watched for a good half hour. They were going through a complete walkthrough at 10 a.m. on a game that's going to start at 8 p.m. down there. I mean, and going back to Jay's point about talent, they're phenomenal. I mean, their defense is something we haven't seen. We weren't used to the speed and the athletic ability, but you can't run a zone read offense with marginal talent against a defense like that. I mean, we can get a yard rushing. It would have to be just going straight forward. I appreciate your show and your time, and I'll hang up and listen to your comments. Thanks,
appreciate it. Mark, thanks for your time. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for your trip to Columbus. And yeah, I mean, offensively, it was a nightmare, and it comes back to the offensive line. It comes back to not being able to run the football. It comes back to rhythm, like Riley said, and it comes back to belief. Do you think they went into that game believing they could win? They're going to tell you, yeah, but did they believe it?
Mm-mm. No, but not by that execution and just the, like I said, the way we played. And to Mark's comment, teams always do those walkthroughs. Usually at a night game, you always, every night game I've been a part of.
But he had them cranked up at 10 a.m.
Yeah, but you always, every Callahan I was with, you know, everybody, you, any professional team, if you have a night game, you're always doing some sort of walkthrough because coaches don't want you, and you don't want to do it either. They don't want you on laying in bed all day in the hotel room. They need you up. You need to be moving.
But if you ordered a massage, though.
No, that comes the day before the game.
Ah, okay.
So That's nothing new. But I'm sure Nebraska had a walkthrough as well, and they're in a ballroom or something like that. Or a lot of times we'd go to a high school field and actually stretch, do a little stretch out and a little jog and do a quick walkthrough there. You know, nothing crazy. You'd see maybe go with about 10 plays, 10, 15 plays, like 30 minutes. But, yeah, that's nothing out of the norm.
466-377-6800-825-5865. The way I explain 62-3 is talent discrepancy, injury, and then that belief. Mm-hmm. Do you believe you can go in there and win? And I think to your point about looking tired, I think they emptied the tank twofold Saturday night the previous week at Wisconsin. Now, the Nebraska team needs to regroup, refocus, get back up because Minnesota don't care. Mm-mm. And Minnesota's going to try and just beat the crap out of you physically. Mm-hmm. And will Nebraska be ready? Now, here is Coach Riley about the passing game, and we'll get into this a little bit more regarding the game plan. Because when you don't have as much talent, how do you win? You put a better game plan together and you outcoach the other dude. But Riley was pretty adamant about how and where it went south. Really was out of character. It was out of character. I mean, Nebraska's had pretty high character, been pretty locked in. They've tackled very well most of the year, mm-hmm. and they've found ways to gut it out, and it just caught up with them against elite talent who was keyed up. Here is the rhythm and the lack thereof when it comes to passing, and that's where Nebraska struggled the most, especially and specifically when Big Ten plays started.
There's no doubt about it that we have not had any rhythm in the passing game, and part of the reason is the quarterback isn't allowed any rhythm. So we've got to do a little cleaner job there. We've got to run the ball a little bit better, and my guess, if we do that, our passing percentage will go up.
He's right. Now can they keep him clean? Did you have a problem with the game plan Saturday night? Because here's both conversations going on, the way I see it. Get in, get out, keep your head down, get the clock moving. You're hurting your defense. You can't come back. Just save further embarrassment. Hand off. Run forward. Keep the clock moving. That's 14, you know, Crown and Cokes in, dude, at the party.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Langsdorf in the box going, well, I can't run it. I've tried running it. For whatever reason, I've tried going wide with some guys they'd never expect me to go wide with, a Zigbo to the edge. But you know what? What they're giving us on offense, and this is Langsdorf's brain talking, not like I'm wearing red right now. They are giving man-man coverage, man-to-man coverage. Nebraska's best talent group is the wideout position, where Stanley's been tremendous. You have a guy like Zoe that's good. You have Seathan that's playing. Mm-hmm. And Westerkamp, stashing all, catches everything and anything near him. The best way to attack this defense, if we can't run it, is chuck it up. And that didn't work a lot, if at all. You had times where guys were there that did beat coverage and dropped the football. Or at the last second, that elite coverage, and I'm talking three of the four dudes that'll be in the draft next April, made a play on the football. What are you to do if you're Langsdorf? Do you disagree with any of his game plan? And he's been patient all year with trying to run the football and continuing to run the football. But at some point, he said, I just got to go, Air America here. I got to chuck it up. And a lot of the times the guys did not win, did not come down with the football. So it made an awful situation way, way worse.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. I don't know. You're screwed either way. And that's the only way I can put it. You were screwed. I mean,
I'm not laughing at you, but you're right.
No,
you have no answer. If you're Danny Langsdorf now.
Do you run in your head into a brick wall trying to run with an offensive line that can't execute a simple zone play?
And is that showing any faith in your guys?
Right.
If you're just saying, we're just going to pack up and leave?
No,
or
I mean,
you're going to try and go get some points?
No, it's hard. And you try to throw the ball. You try to find that one-on-one spot and try to throw it up, get lucky. I don't know. I don't know how you even put a game plan anymore with what the offensive line we have. I don't know, and it's hard. And it's hard to, you know, how do you get this group's confidence back up, you know?
Is that something are you concerned with that?
No, my buddy Troy just tweeted at me. He's like, you know, fingers are pointed at the O-line. They know that. How do they stay confident? That's a good point, you know? The offensive, I mean, without a doubt, the offensive struggles because of those five guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
And the offense has also won because of those five guys gotten it out.
Sure. Sure. But it's completely on them. But the lack of seeing our completion percentage now drop below 50%, that going down, us not being able to run the ball, like it's a mix of now teams are just low in the box. We're like, oh shit. Oh, excuse me.
We're covered. Good catch, TJ.
Yeah. I haven't done that in a while.
It's okay. 62-3 will do that to a guy.
I know. Sorry. But having, you know, it's hard. I don't know. I'm flustered. I'm still flustered from this game. You know, it's tough to put your finger on it because there's so many issues right now.
We'll wind down hour one. And Charlie McBride, 10 minutes away. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, who backed up Jay? Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
More from Coach Riley, more from you. And quite a bit of time on good days and bad. We try and open the phone lines for you on Monday, 466-377-6800. 825-5865. Many of you have chimed in, and some of you didn't want to wait, and that's fine too. So keep them coming. You can find us on Twitter at JMoore44, at Schmidt_radio. And you know what would make my wife happy? Because I got home Saturday, and she was there with the dog, and she's like, man, I thought they'd play better. I'm like, yeah.
We all did.
Right. And I'm like, look, Bunny, I have no answer for it. I didn't think it was going to go well. It didn't go well. But they've done way more this season with some bad hands mm-hmm. handed out to them injury-wise or what, and beyond, obviously. And, you know, season isn't over. And they can't let this one do it to them twice Saturday. And that was, if you want to just get real honest about it, and you look at the Northwestern comparison, how did Northwestern almost win? Well, the Penn State game wasn't something that Urban and the guys anticipated losing. They were hung over from that one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a fine line in today's era and age of college football, where can you get focused for a week, and then can you translate that focus to 4.5 hours on a Saturday for 18 to 22-year-olds? Mm-hmm. And it's a major chore, to put it nicely, to get done.
Yeah, that's going back, I think hit on the first segment of the show, talking about they definitely did not practice well, and it just shows you that they may not have been practicing the way they need to all year. Because I've always been somewhat obsessed with how Navy SEALs prepare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they say, you in times of panic in
how do you react?
It's how you what do you go back on? Well, you go back on your habits, and it's your bad habits. But you have to make your bad habits
good habits.
Good habit. Like you have to you always go back to how you prepare.
Well, and that's when you get down like they did, Bird, I'm sorry, but that's my natural reaction is it's avalanche. It's snowball time because you've seen it the last 7 years.
I wasn't even like when they threw that pick six, I'm like, I wasn't even concerned. I
want some of what you had then.
Well, I know. Listen, I'm patient with football. I know because it's long games.
Sure.
But and even playing.
And to your point, they responded, they drove, golf. They got a score.
Some of my best golf rounds have been after I've doubled or bogeyed the first hole.
Wow.
So it's just, you know what, sometimes.
Again, share.
Right. But I don't know. I'm just wired a little differently sometimes. But I wasn't, not expecting that. Not expecting that at all.
No, that second drive, they drove it down. They converted some plays. Westy had a good catch. They got a 20-yard field goal. And then, again, the levee broke continually with big plays.
Would you imagine our best play all night was the tip ball, the lucky ball to Stanley Morgan.
I would second the 32-yard reception by Westerkamp.
But we don't even get over 200 yards total offense.
No.
We only had 204 total yards.
Well, they were locked in. They're that good.
I know.
They have a ton of talent, and
but
they put it on their secondary to handle Nebraska's wideouts. Can't run the football. You're one-dimensional, and then your quarterback goes down, and that freaked the entire state.
Carr got open quite a bit from Northwestern last week.
Yeah. No, you're right, he did.
Thorson was able to do some good things.
Yeah.
Against Northwestern last week.
You got a different quarterback in Thorson than you do at Nebraska or the Nebraska backup. Charlie McBride is 5 minutes away. You'll want to tune in for Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, Bob Day!
Hey, Bob Day!
We get better blessed!
We get better blessed!
We get big bleed!
We get big bleed!
Boom! Bleed! Bleed!
Boom! Bleed! Bleed!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in hour two. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. More of your calls and thoughts here in about 20 minutes. Husker fullback Luke McNitt will join us at 5:40. It is that time, Mondays with Charlie. Coach Charlie McBride, brought to you by your friends at Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help you always find that focus and also help your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. They also provide employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. 130 years, giving you peace of mind. Emeritus proud to support Nebraska Athletics. Proud to bring you Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Coach, how are we doing today?
Today I'm doing better.
I was going to say,
took me a day.
it did take you a day, and let's start with where you thought it went wrong defensively for Nebraska.
Well, you can second guess everything, and I just don't think somehow. I don't know what it is. Sometimes kids are ready to play, and sometimes they're not. I know. Actually, the first few plays of the game, I thought, well, this is going to be pretty good, because I thought I was watching the defensive line in particular, and they looked like they were really doing pretty good, and then things kind of went south with tip ball, interception. Then all these things, when those things start to happen, and it just seems like it snowballs.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Tommy got hurt, and then I think, that. I don't know what it. I'm not part of the team any, so I don't know what the feelings, were. I know that if it had been one of our guys, war would have. If it wasn't started, it would have been started after that.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seemed like they just went south.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any. I mean, you could name 1,000 things. Penalty. You can always go through all that stuff, interceptions, turnovers, and it looked like the same old things were biting them, in the tail, and they just are, I noticed a couple of times I won't name people, but some of our offensive linemen were in the backfield. I mean, they were just stuffing them in the backfield. They couldn't even get the ball run. If you can't run the football, you got to be able to at least pass it. And if you can't, if you're having trouble with that, the running game to me is the whole start. And you got to get guys that can knock people off the ball. And sometimes you get, and we always thought this, if we had a team that was 60-70% pass, they work on pass blocking all the time. So we're guaranteed we're going to take, because they don't run, they don't work on the running game
mm-hmm.
very much with their run blocking and do all, they're working on pass protection and, the majority of the time. And so I look at it, we always looked at it, boy, these guys are asking for it because they can't run block because they don't get enough repetitions of it. And then, they better be able to throw it, but you can put your kids in the passing mode. Your linemen, and put them in the mode that they're going to, and put pressure on them and stop the run.
This is the third straight show we've had this happen. Not TJ's fault at all, so I'm not going to throw a two-year-old fit in the toy aisle with that. Tell Coach and give him our biggest apologies that we have the phone set up from hell, so apologize profusely because that's one thing I've
hamstrung myself out the wheel.
Not ever wanted to do, and that is hang up on Charlie McBride.
Right.
But he is making a great point about it. If a team's pass first, they're in lots of trouble. Coach, there were some gremlins in here apparently, so you got hung up on. Apologies about that, but you were touching on if a team's going to pass the ball 60% of the time.
Yeah,
you can,
we just felt like they weren't a top flight run blocking team.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times, teams have identities. Well, if they're going to be a passing team, that's our identity.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to be a run 50-50 team, that's, what you would think would be their identity. How many running plays, do you have 5 running plays or 8 running plays, and those are the only ones you have, and you work on those all week, but then you work on your pass block at a time, and so organization always comes to the highlight, and then injuries come into it. Are you going to practice hard? Are you going to practice tackling? Are you going to practice one-on-one live? Are you going to do, a lot of this stuff live? And let some of these guys get some hits during the week, or are you going to get them one against one and don't tackle, but, play live football, except don't take the people down, don't cut, block, don't do all that stuff to prevent from injury, and you get the speed factor.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, if you got to really get on, I know we were, our scout team, we told them this is a game every week. You're playing a game. You're playing against the best lineman you're ever going to see in this league right now. Don't let them get away with it. And I'd turn around, there'd be a fight, because the scout team guys are beating up on one of the first team guys, you're playing too hard or something. That's how you get it done. And I think your scout team has to do a great job. And I had a couple of things written down, which really kind of, after the game, they had a few things they were talking about, you know, the other team. I was listening to Michigan and, you know, guys after the Michigan game, they had some stuff on the, you know, afterwards that was like what the players talked about. And you know, one of the things is the one of the Ohio State players, I actually have it written down here, they were laughing at Nebraska after about the second series. They were laughing and fooling around on the bench on TV. But it said here, it says that they had Michigan guys said they had their hardest practice of the year, and they brought our practice intensity right onto the field today. And, you know, and stuff like that. And they, you know, and those are the same thing. You know, if you practice with no intensity, that's a way of finding out that, you know, you're going to go on the field that way. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times you get in that, sometimes these guys have been in pro ball, kind of treat everything like it's pro football. These kids got to learn. They have to rep stuff. You don't just work, you know, you work with everybody. You try to develop the depth and so that you're not as concerned about who's going in the game as much. At least you know what they're doing. And, you know, it's tough to watch some of this stuff. And then, you know, Michigan was the same time. I'd flip it back to the Michigan game, and their players were laughing on the bench, having a good time. And I said, well, yeah, I don't ever remember laughing and giggling. I was busy, but maybe our kids did it too. I don't ever remember that kind of thing. And they're dancing over there and doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm just thinking, you know, and here Nebraska's getting stoned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you just wonder, well, these kids, that's the way it is. And when you look at the two games, I said the difference in points is Michigan wins by 56 points, Ohio State wins by 59. Mm-hmm. And Michigan, I know, had over 700 yards total offense and so on and so forth and, you know, things like that. So you're looking at the two top teams you're playing that are playing, and everything Ohio State had done to this point, and you wonder why their practice wasn't intense, is because they hadn't been playing good, and he figured out, hey, listen, this is going to stop. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we had a guy hurt or we worried about injury, we put the second team guy in there and let him do it. Let the first team guy, if he's hurt, step out. Don't put him in the live stuff or if you're doing any of that. But I think you have to be, you know, maybe in pro ball, the guys are making money. You don't want to get them hurt. You got to win or you get fired, you know, and that's the same thing anywhere. But I just sometimes wonder, you know, and I'm not there, so I can't tell you. I'm just saying what I believe is some of the things that I think you have to do to be successful. Mm-hmm. You have to look past some of the injury parts. You have to look at the other guys on the team. They cannot take one guy or two guys or three guys at any position and sacrifice practice just for those three guys.
Mm-hmm. Coach,
you see what I'm saying?
No, without a doubt. And you're just validating what I said. I mean, people want to always point at, oh, it's a talent issue. I said, no. Yeah, they might have more talent. Yeah, the recruiting classes are better than ours. But to me, I said when that way we performed on Saturday was we practiced absolutely awful all week. I said there was no intensity. I said I guarantee you that both sides of the ball, both scout teams gave horrible looks. Guys were a little, maybe had a little, little pouting still from the Wisconsin deal. They were a little tired. I just said there was no – the intensity that they showed in that game, that you play like you practice.
Right.
And it's a culture thing. It's taking pride in what you do. And I'm like, that's what frustrates people. Want to say it's a talent. It's like, no, I've seen way less talented guys – in professional ball, make millions and millions and millions of dollars because they practice well, they practice with intensity, and they do perfect technique every time, without a doubt. And that's what's frustrating. And I don't get me wrong, they have more talent than us. That's easy. But you can still beat talented football teams if you have effort, intensity, and play with great technique.
Right, exactly. And you know, I wrote down, and the Michigan tight end, I don't know if you saw that on TV, but the one thing he said, we had a hard week of practice, and you know, and they brought it right back out. And then the Ohio State guy said the same thing. He said, we had one of the hardest weeks of practice we ever had, and we just continued our intensity right into the game. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you're cheating the kids if you're not giving them the reps they need to get better. You're cheating them.
Coach, you know, go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you.
And but that was my point. I mean, if you've got to give those young people reps, you know, and do things, and you got to, you know, you got to have them come. If they're going to run the running game, they can't. Their first move can't be straight up in the air. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you got to come off the ball, and you have to be PO'd, and you have to get stuff done. And it doesn't mean one play or the next play; it means every play. And that's the only way you can be consistent. You can run the football, and you know you're going to get beat in the pass rush. So what? I mean, you know that's going to happen at times. That's part of the deal. But as long as you're given the effort, it doesn't hurt as much. You know, mm-hmm. as coaches know, hey, this kid can only do so much. You know, he's doing the best he can, and that's the way it is. And all you can do is encourage those people. And, you know, one thing I think, if you can't shake this and get back, then I'd just say you could put your guts in a thimble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because if this doesn't make you mad, you got everybody sitting there saying you're no good now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you went down in this, everybody. Well, Nebraska showed what they were, you know, and if they don't want to try to justify that, then we got a big problem. I mean, you talk about last week being PO'd. This week they ought to really be mad.
Yeah.
And practice. And if somebody's moving, you knock the snot out of them in practice. You know, and a little fight never hurt anybody. But, you know, you can always break that up.
Mm-hmm.
But,
sure can.
You know,
sure
you know can. And I just, you know, it all comes down to, you know, how you practice. Because you get more confidence in your ability, you know, getting reps, doing things, and doing them hard.
Mm-hmm.
Every snap is a game. You know, the only difference is you're not taking the backs down, you're not cutting people, you're not the secondary's not cold cocking guys, you know, and they're playing the ball. And people laugh, you know, say, well, we're not going to hit. When they practice like that, they are forced to play the football, you know, instead of grabbing arms and doing all that kind of stuff. So, I don't know. You know, I'm getting old-fashioned too much. I guess the world's changing. And
no, Coach, you're 100% right.
Charlie McBride
right.
with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, we will talk about a win next week. How's that sound?
That's good. We'll get a win.
Okay.
I
can't guarantee anything, but you know what? I think you've given you've been fired up about it, and I think the guys will respond the right way. I like what you say.
Well, okay. I mean, they have to eat it. I'm just saying the way I am.
No, I love it. I love it. Coach
okay.
Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Coach.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
Thanks,
you
Coach.
So much.
Appreciate it.
Love everything he just laid out there. And oh. Coach McBride, kind enough to be with us. Mondays brought to you by your friends at Emeritus. And Bird, you and Charlie cut from the same cloth when it comes to practice makes
Listen,
the Saturday.
I lived it. I've said this story many times on here. Like, I was an average football player my sophomore year, and I had horrible practice habits. I did not have great practice habits, and they got on me about it. And I became a different player once I practiced. Like he said, like it's a game rep every time. And I don't know any other way.
Mm.
And it's you have to do it.
Tommy Armstrong and the pass rush of Nebraska. A couple of thoughts on that. Luke McNitt coming up as well on Hail Varsity.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
You know, we were a little bit frantic almost defensively. I mean, guys were trying to all of a sudden do somebody else's job because this wasn't getting done. And so technically we fell apart, assignment-wise we fell apart in all that, all those ways. It was not a good night.
It wasn't. I needed a lot of Zipline. Zipline Brewing Company. Go see your friends at Zipline today. It started in Lincoln and record sales the last 4 years. Gold medal winning copper alt. Nationally recognized IPA. 40 different beers for you to find that beer you love. Their one tap room on West, though. Their new tap room, the Beer Hall, Southeast Lincoln, 56th and Pine Lake. That's where I pre-gamed. And you got to be there and check out the new beer hall, modern German beer hall, 24 taps, neighborhood bar, community tables. And if you're in central or western or northeast or southeast Nebraskan and here in Hale Varsity Radio, you can get Zipline at your favorite grocery store or bottle shop. And they have it on draft across the state. And when you come to Lincoln for the Minnesota game, when you come from Maryland, when you're here for holiday tournaments, when you come in here to shop during the holiday season, or you're visiting relatives, make time and go see Zipline today. Their new location at 56th and Pine Lake. It's open Monday through Saturday, noon to 10, Sundays, noon to 6. Or go find out about their West O tap room. But they are amazing people who are just the utmost professionals when it comes to beer, their care for it, their expertise, and making sure you're enjoying yourself with Zipline. Zipline Brewing Company, brewed in Lincoln, but poured for all of Nebraska. You heard of Coach Riley talking about where it unraveled. How does Nebraska go against Wisconsin and wrap up and tackle, play snot-knocking physical football on the lines of scrimmage? Mm-hmm. You know you got to bring it for Wisconsin. You know that's what you'll get. You got to be and match their physicality. Nebraska looked lost. There were some plays defensively they swarmed the ball and were fine. Mm. There were other instances where they were overmatched. They didn't make tackles. They were tentative, and they weren't physical. And they sure weren't physical trying to run the football on the line. Didn't look like it. You had guys like Stanley, and you had guys like Seathan, and you had guys like Jordan get off the line with some press coverage, some hand fighting. But those guys with Ohio State, that NFL secondary, ultimately made some plays. Am I nuts, or did Nebraska not look physical enough to match Ohio State? And how don't you carry it over after looking the part?
Yes, Wisconsin.
Looking toe-to-toe as good as Wisconsin.
Right, and the team in Wisconsin looked better. When I watched Wisconsin play, I would say Wisconsin looked better mm-hmm. than Ohio State to me.
Yes.
Like, I can't believe Ohio State's lucky to win that football game.
Damn lucky.
But, you know, Coach McBride hit on the head. You know, his Urban made him earn this win. You know, Nebraska needs to go out and earn this win. Like, this, I mean, I don't care about the injuries anymore. Like, Riley needs to put these guys through the ringer this week. You know what? Because there's still a lot to play for. 10-2 is sure a lot better than 8-4 or 9-3.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you go out because you're just too dinged up, so be it.
Right, but
go out on your terms.
Right,
physically.
Exactly. Swinging. You know, don't.
That's what Langsdorf did. He went out on his terms,
right.
trying to keep scoring.
Right. No, it's
he's been killed
right.
all weekend.
Right.
No, I did the right thing.
I don't care.
Trying
no.
to score points.
No, you know, people that are saying, "Oh, firing or whatever it is," you don't understand how what he doesn't know what to do because his offensive line is in shambles. He does not know what to do. You can't. You can't run it. You can't protect long enough to be able to throw it. You're
not great at throwing it anyway.
Right. So it's a mess. Yeah, that's what's – I mean, you look pretty physical. But it's kind of – I was thinking, you know what? You kind of go back to, about that four-minute mark defensively in the Wisconsin game. We give up that big run.
Mm-hmm.
And then they miss a field goal. But then we give up the big runs again against Wisconsin in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I mean, we played good up for that, obviously, up until then. But I don't know if something happened with that Wisconsin game. You give up those big plays and you run it there. You know, guys, like something happened. Because now that last drive from that four minute mark of the fourth quarter to the rest of the game to the Ohio State
game. Kind of a pull and pin play.
Yeah, like this defense has been
gashed.
Yeah. Like, what, you know, you don't think much about it, but I'm like, you look back,
found
you know
a
what?
Crack.
Yeah, like what's going on here? Because you know, Wisconsin got some stuff going in the run game, which they really didn't have most of the game. You know, they hit them with some draws. That happens. That happens. You kind of guess wrong. But, you know, you're just left with your head scratching. I don't have the coach's film. I can't tell you X's and O's, but really don't need to, you know, say too much. I mean, we know what the physicality was just not there. And it doesn't take talent to be physical.
What'd you think of the defensive line? Because to me, it looked like, I mean, and the other gripe was pass rush, non-existent. Mm-hmm. And if you did get to Barrett, he'd step up in his pocket, or he'd sidestep, or he extended the play, and he's pretty confident and calm in the pocket if things are crashing down. He's not Braxton Miller, where he's going to score on you if he tucks it and scrambles it. He's a different style of runner, but still very talented. I think Nebraska mush rushed him and tried to keep him contained, and the trickle down of that was the secondary was in some coverage long. They weren't completely out of position on a few instances that he made plays on third down. Other times you had the linebackers miss tackles. What did you think of the line, and what's the right answer? What did you see with their pass rush?
Yeah, I initially thought that's where they're going. Because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, JT Barrett, Ohio State offense has been not very good throwing the ball.
They've not been very good, and they've been not very good against teams that Nebraska's beaten.
Right. I mean, they have not thrown the ball very well. They've been getting killed on their vertical pass game. You said it. The people we talk to, that's what people are concerned. They haven't had vertical threats. They haven't, even with Samuel. They can't get anything done there. Well, they played their best game of the year, without a doubt. But I was trying to figure out, are they doing this? I mean, really, do they think that because JT's struggled throwing the ball, that they just, let's just keep him contained in the pocket, let's not have his feet beat him? I don't know. I just, again, at times it looked like it, at times it didn't. At times guys, you know, just kind of rushed right down the middle of guys and they really didn't make an effort to get off. I don't know. It was a mess.
Guys get off blocks to your liking or not?
No, not at all. I think Freedom had a couple good rushes in there, but guys, we just looked slow and sluggish. We did. We looked a step slow and everything. We looked like our legs were heavy. We looked tired. You're coming off with Wisconsin, but we're just not that boils down to how you practice. It does. It just does. It's how you prepare, take care of your body, and we could have generated some pass rush. I think we did against Wisconsin, but I don't get what we were trying to accomplish up front, rushing the passer. I mean, it just wasn't there. And I don't think we were trying to mush. I think early on, I just think we were just that bad that it looked like it was a mush rush. You know, it looked like they were just trying to contain him. And I think we can win. We just didn't. And when we did, he would step in the pocket and beat us. It was a recipe. It was a bad night. Anything you tried to do, it just magnified and got worse.
We haven't even gotten into too much of the quarterback situation. Here's Coach Riley as he knows it Monday.
Riker would be taking the snaps. Zach Darlington would be getting the backup snaps, and that's what it would look like for the next couple days. Whether it's Thursday, Friday, and Tommy has been cleared, let's just go forward and say that's going to happen. Then we'll make a decision how that's going to all work from there. I'm not prepared to say exactly what that means right now, if indeed he is cleared at that point.
Concussion protocols like this, light exercise, you have football-related exercise, you have activities without contact to the head, the next step, no contact, sport drills, and then you have final full contact. So he's in protocol today, and you and I both looked at each other and we talked to a couple people, and you can get knocked out without a concussion, which blew my mind.
Me too.
Blew my mind. But Riker is going to get the snaps. Darlington is an option that I like better at this point, frankly. And Tommy's your guy who was able to come back out onto the field but scared everybody, and you felt for him and his loved ones when he got knocked out. We'll get you back Thursday this week. But what do you think? What can you do? Contingency? I mean, all right, we've just spent the last, like, 15 minutes talking about Langsdorf, then even go back to Hour 1. Where this dude's in the deep end of the pool, he's got, like, you know, those little ducky wings on you put on your kid. Mm-hmm. He's got those on, but both of his arms are tied behind his back. Mm-hmm. He has a snorkel and some goggles, but that's it.
Mm-hmm. He might even have a bag of bricks tied to his legs.
He might have
too.
Something tied somewhere weighing him down.
Right.
Because his O-line's, His wideouts need to be better against elite competition. That was a tweet sent out. I'm paraphrasing and not reading word for word, but Coach Dubb said that's on me, not the kids. We'll get better. Okay, that's the paraphrase. Mm-hmm. So the wideouts, what you could turn to win, like they did against Purdue, couldn't top this Ohio State secondary. Mm-hmm. And then your quarterbacks aren't your top guys. I mean, it's full-on tire fire, man. Offensively.
Oh, yeah, tire fire, dumpster fire.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Meth lab. It's on. Mm-hmm. And you got to figure out a way to score about 20 to 25 to 30 against the Gophers because they don't care.
I mean, you score probably 30 points in extra games. Nope, I'm not even going to go
there.
Do
you think the D hit the wall Saturday night for the season?
They've been doing a lot of heavy
lifting.
Well, that's kind of an error. I wanted to kind of mention that. I think that did. I mean, it did hit the wall for them. I mean, it's
hit the fan first.
Yeah, it gets hard when you don't get a lot of help from your offense. It gets really
hard.
And
they've been pretty complimentary
units
all year.
But it was just a bad mix. But it'll be interesting, not even defensively, offensively, this whole team, what they're going to do the next, this week especially. But I'm really concerned now for the defense that I felt pretty confident. I mean, this team I felt pretty confident in. Now,
I thought the defense, I did not anticipate. I think eventually the snow was going to fall on top of them, but it wasn't going to be till third or fourth quarter. I mean, I thought it would get ugly, but it wouldn't get ugly till way later in the game. It was ugly, unwatchable. You're gnashing your teeth as a Nebraska fan because you thought you were beyond this, or at least you hoped you were beyond it based on the confidence you felt from the Wisconsin effort.
Right.
It went south, and it got south. It was 31-3 at half. Mm-hmm. Done. Out. Mm-hmm. Good night.
And thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
And it wasn't just – it didn't hit you. It was slammed upon you. Mm-hmm. So we'll hear thoughts from a leader on special teams and a fullback that hopefully gets a carry on Saturday. Luke McNitt next as he'll join Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Fullback Luke McNitt with us. Luke, you're on special teams. Yeah, you do a great job with special teams. And obviously, when you're in to lead block and kind of leak out of the backfield, make some catches, you had a pretty big fumble recovery. Ohio State doesn't put it on the carpet much. You were there. Take us kind of through that play, if you could. And how do you hit the brakes? Because you're screaming downfield, and then you, oops, I got to get that slippery pig.
I think it was at that point we were down by two or three touchdowns. Second quarter, we were looking for a big play. You know, Coach Bruce Reed's always saying, you got to be ready for the big play when it presents itself. And I'm running down on punt coverage, and I see a guy muff it, and it bounces to my side. And luckily, it took one good bounce right before I got there, and I was able to scoop it up and secure it before I went to the ground.
Now, we know you would have scooped and scored if that was allowed, correct?
Yeah, definitely would have been a touchdown.
So, tough ball game. Ohio State's extremely talented. Going into the game, did you sense quite a bit of confidence from your guys, though? I mean, do you think you guys were ready heading in?
Yeah, I think we were ready. I mean, we had a good game plan going in. Looking back at the result, things didn't go. We didn't execute the way we wanted to, but I think going in, the coaches had us well prepared. We were confident going in. I don't think there was anybody on our team that had a single shred of doubt.
Couple more minutes here, Luke McNitt with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. With Tommy, and when he went down, where were you? What was your reaction? And then how did the guys on the sideline handle that? Because it was extremely scary.
Yeah, it was a scary, sight at first to see. I was on the sideline. I just came off from a play, and then to see Tommy, get us that huge first down on third down, and then hit his head like that and not move. It's scary for a second. You think about Tommy, you pray for him. But, at the same time, we got to get Riker in there, get him ready to go, get his confidence going. We got to talk to the coaches, see what's going to change with our game plan moving forward with Riker being in. To see him, give us the thumbs up and, the coaches to tell us he's going to be all right. They're just taking him to the hospital for precautionary reasons. You know, that's big for us, but we can't dwell on it for too long. We got to move forward because there's a game to be played.
Is that extremely difficult because you're going through emotions on one hand in your mind, and then you got to go out there, refocus, and go up against one of the best there is in the country? I mean, is it – you can't even really juggle it, can you? But you have to.
Yeah, it can be very difficult, but I think this team, you know, we're very good at handling our emotions, you know, keeping everything in perspective, being able to we've proved that throughout the season, you know, keep everything in perspective and just keep moving forward.
You guys came in Sunday. Monday's your off day, and thanks for giving us time on your off day, Luke McNitt with us. What was the message by the staff when you guys got in yesterday? How did they go about the review session with yesterday?
The message is, you know, things didn't go our way. That's the way it happens. If you're not prepared to play or you don't show up to play against a team like that in an environment like that, that's what's going to happen. And, I mean, we didn't want to dwell on it for too long. We watched the film, made corrections. We're just going to use it as a tool now. I think games like that are an anomaly. But, I mean, it'll wake us up going forward. Use it as a tool now. And I can speak for myself and the whole team. After today, after watching the film, we've moved on. We're ready for Minnesota.
Luke McNitt with us. And we'll know as we talk here, this is right before Coach Riley speaks. And do you have a feel if Tommy will be back, or do you guys even know yet?
We don't know yet. We're going to prepare. We'll see what the coaches say. You know, we're prepared for Riker, prepared for Tommy. He looked good after the game in the locker room. He looked good on the sideline. You know, it's a scary situation when it involves the head. So, you know, we're just going to trust whatever the trainers say, however Tommy's feeling, and move forward with whichever guy can get us a win.
Luke, what's it been like to see all the tributes this year for Sam when you go on the road? Ohio State was extremely classy with the Sam logo as you guys walked out, but also their band's pretty well renowned. I'm not a huge band guy, but yeah. Their band was pretty cool with what they did with the Fultz tribute. And how have you guys soaked that in, and how have you been able to deal with the well wishes, because there's been so many?
Yeah, it's been pretty awesome to see everywhere you go, all these different fans, all these different programs, you know, embracing you and knowing what you're going through and trying to help in whatever way they can or pay respect to Sam. It's pretty awesome to see, like I said, but it just goes to show, you know, this is all bigger than football when it comes down to it. You know, the Big Ten's a great conference. This is a great university, and I have a lot of respect for all those other universities.
Luke, let's talk Gophers. Minnesota was a game last year. Big Red really showed up in, and pretty impressive win. They have been extremely tough, though, since joining the Big Ten, as they've won in Lincoln, did it a couple of years ago. They upset you guys a few years back, I think in 13, but you guys really just looked incredible a year ago. Moving forward here, what sticks out to you about Minnesota, and what are some of the challenges they present?
Yeah, after watching the film yesterday, I haven't really got a chance to watch much film on this year's Minnesota. I'll start doing that later today and into tomorrow for practice. But, you know, they're a tough team, well-coached team. They don't make mistakes, and they capitalize on mistakes. You know, it's pretty much the status quo for a Big Ten team. You know, they like to run the ball. They got a couple of good backs from what I've seen on television. You know, they're strong up front. They got a good secondary, so... You know, we got to show up to play, but, you know, it's a Big Ten. You got to show up every single week. I mean, they're playing really well lately, but so are we, so it'll be fun to play them.
You've been pretty adamant about moving on, and you've been a part of this program for a while, too, and so you've experienced some really big wins, but you've also had some losses similar to that, like last week. From a team makeup and a mental standpoint, you seem pretty focused right now. Is it going to be hard to move on from last week when you got another great opponent? I mean, Minnesota's 7-2. They're verge of being ranked. They allow 3.5 a carry. I mean, they're pretty for real, and they feel pretty confident going in.
I don't think it'll be hard for our team to move on at all. You know, after watching the film, our coaches really stressed that, you know, it's over. There's nothing we can do about it now. we didn't show up, we lost. So we're going to use it as a tool, use it as a, you know, a learning tool from now on. Correct our mistakes this week, you know, install a game plan and get ready to play.
What's it going to be like coming home at night? Big Ten will be here under the lights, 6:30. That was not something the Big Ten used to do. Now you get a November game, and it might be a November game, but it's felt like September weather-wise.
Yeah, it'll be nice to come back home for once. You know, we played in two away night games, which are, I mean, it's tough.
Crazy environments,
yeah. You know, they're really fun environments, great to see, but I don't think they hold a candle to this place at night. So it'll be fun to get back under, play in front of the 90,000.
Will we get a fullback run Saturday?
I don't have any predictions. I haven't seen the game plan yet.
All right, he's smiling about it, maybe. Luke McNitt with us. Luke, thanks for a few minutes.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good stuff from Luke McNitt. Big-time fumble recovery. Good to run him down. Thanks to Luke McNitt. So we will answer some Twitter thoughts regarding the play calling. Before we say goodbye, still time for you. 466-377-6800. 825-5865. Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Hail Varsity winds down next.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
And this is really, in summary, a great time for us to really be prepared, to really do our job as a coaching staff, for our players to pull together and do a good job of getting ready to play. And it's a great time to show our mental toughness.
That it is. Bounce back Saturday. Does it happen? We'll get into Minnesota and all the intricacies that follow such an embarrassing, disheartening loss on national TV. And man, those national critics and those naysayers, same old Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And you felt differently about the team, especially after the Wisconsin effort. We'll see who the real Nebraska is. Is it the Wisconsin Nebraska or is it the Ohio State Nebraska these next three games? The fan poll is up on HailVarsity.com. If you haven't checked the new Hail Varsity, please do. If you want to be a member of just a great community, subscribe and be a part of the premium message boards, can do so. HailVarsity.com. What worries you most about the remainder of the regular season? This is something we'll tackle tomorrow, but the run game, the quarterback play, the O-line, the defense. I will just say yes. I will say yes to all four. Sauter Heyman, say yes to Rick. 1 carat diamonds, affordable. Yes, very affordable. $100 a month. 1 carat diamonds. Select 1 carat diamonds. Holidays or anniversaries and birthdays just around the corner. Take care of your sweetheart. $100 a month. 1 carat diamonds. Select 1 carat diamonds. 12th and O downtown Lincoln. South Point Pavilion. Lincoln Rod West in Grand Island. Log on SauterHeyman.com and see stores for details. Limited time offer with approved credit. If I'm jumping early on this, offensive line is my biggest concern, my biggest worry about the remainder of the year. I think the defense will be upset and play okay. The run game and quarterback play are a direct result of your offensive line play. Mm-hmm. So by default, I pick O-line. Can they get those big nasties up front ready to go? I know Gates is ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
He's always ready to go. It's about getting him healthy. The rest of the party needs to join him.
Right. And what Riley said the best, you know, we got to find a couple plays we can just kind of hang our hat on.
Love that.
And run them. And that's what you got to do. When it gets down to crunch time, when you got to make stuff happen, you got to have something you can hang your hat where you know your five guys can execute, man. You got to be able to do that.
We got to do it. This is what you're referring to and Coach Riley on the run game.
The number one thing that we need to do is establish two identity runs that we can repeat better throughout the ball game that look good. You know, sometimes when you're not doing well, you jump around a little bit. And so I think establishing our identity in that way and really rehearsing that and practicing that over the course of the next 3 days is really going to be big for us improving that and getting back to it.
Todd tweeted in regarding the play calling, and you and I are both in unison about Langsdorf's option was to go and try and beat one-on-one coverage with or without his starting quarterback. The fourth and one, where it's 21 to three. Excuse me, I gave them three extra points.
Yeah, I don't.
21-3. This is right after Tommy'd gotten hurt. Fumble recovery. McNitt had recovered. Mm-hmm. You're inside their red zone, and it's fourth and one. Right. They don't run it. They throw it. He rolls out. Awful play call. Can't defend that. Other than that, though, I think the attack was well warranted. Tomorrow at 4, join us on Hail Varsity.